from God, beginning to seek God. And yet, even though we seek God, how many know sometimes we do just that? We go from dumb to dumber. So we want to look at this Thanksgiving edition of wisdom. How are we dumb at Thanksgiving? A lot of times we are. Because a lot of times during Thanksgiving, we say a lot of things. And we maybe express a lot of things in the moment. But you know what? I think the worst thing that we can do, and yet we do it all the time, is we express thanks during the week of Thanksgiving, but then the rest of the year, you know what? We do the very last thing, then show thankfulness. We say we're thankful, but we live as if we could care less. We live as if we take things for granted, as if they're nothing, which is more than just dumb. It is almost spiteful in the face of those around us that have provided so much. And so as we come to Thanksgiving, we think of a lot of things that we need to be thankful for. And we need to begin to truly be thankful for. And so today we're going to look at how can we truly be thankful for the most important thing that we have to be thankful for. So first of all, we have to answer the question is what is the most important thing we have to be thankful for? Before we can figure out what that thing is, we need to look at our situation. And in Jeremiah 29, it speaks to this condition that we all have. And it is the human condition. A lot of times when we think of Jeremiah 29, we think of the verse that God tells us that he knows the plans that he has for us to give us a hope and a future, not to curse us. But there is a great truth also in Jeremiah 29, which says this, and let's look at it. Or actually, this is in 17. We'll get to 29. Jeremiah 17 tells us this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We need to understand that no matter who you are, you have a wicked heart. Your own heart is deceitful. How many know that we have looked at our past, that we have gotten our own self in more trouble than we care to think about, right? We have followed our heart. We have followed our passions, and we have gotten ourselves in trouble, starting from the very youngest age. How many know that we have lied to our parents? We have done things that have gotten ourselves in trouble, and we could have avoided a lot of things. And then as we've grown, we've only made it worse. We've gotten into bigger things of trouble, things that we have suffered bigger consequences. And it's all because our heart is naturally wicked. We are not naturally good people. Some people say, oh, man is naturally good if we just get him a chance. Oh, really? Look around the world. If man is naturally good, we would not see the things that we see. We would not see the horrible things that we saw just a week or so ago around the world. The things that happen in Paris and in Beirut and around the world, that happens because we are naturally selfish, prideful, deceitful, wicked people. It is our heart from the very beginning. And yet, God has done something for us. And we see that this is what God says. If we go over, I think it's in Ezekiel 36. God says, in spite of that, even though we are wicked and deceitful, even to ourselves, God says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, I will heal you. I will begin to give you a new heart that is compassionate, that is one that is soft and able to feel, that is able to love in a true way, not one of stone. In other words, not one of hard selfishness, of one that only thinks for himself. How did he do that? How did he give us that new heart? We know that the only way that he was able to do that was that he sent his son, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to come and pay the price for that hard heart. You see, the only way you can renew your heart is you've got to pay the penalty. And the penalty for sin is death. Because God is also a just God. He's not just a loving God, he is a just God. He is a fair God. And it would not be fair just to close his eyes and say, okay, no problem, I'm just going to forgive you without any punishment. First of all, it wouldn't be helpful to us. There had to be a consequence. But instead of putting that upon our shoulders, he sent his son to take the ultimate consequence, to die for us, to suffer that separation from God. And it was because of the death and resurrection of Jesus that now we have experienced the promise of God, that he has put within us a new heart, a heart of flesh that beats. And if we have come to God, we've experienced that. But how many know that even though God has put a new heart in us, that God has given us a new perspective, it doesn't mean it's perfect. We still live in the flesh. Even though God has changed us and has given us a new hope, we still many times mess it up, right? I mean, even we experience that. How many have experienced a time we come down and pray, and man, I just feel the presence of God more than any time. And yet, the next day, we go out and say something, do something to someone we love, and we come back later and say, what did I do? You dummy. You know, and we feel the regret, and we feel the sorrow, because here God had done this great thing for us, and yet we've gone from dumb, when we just realized that I had a heart of stone, when it was just me, I was dumb, okay? I was dumb. But then what happens, and this is where we've been looking in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs tells us that once we have that new heart that God has given us, we see that there is a response that comes to us. First of all, in Proverbs chapter 9, starting in verse 3, it says this, talking about wisdom, it says that wisdom has sent out her maidens. She cries from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple or foolish or selfish, come in to me. Whoever lacks understanding, she says to him, come and eat of my bread and drink of my wine that I have mixed. Forsake your foolishness and live, and then go in the way of understanding. You see, this is God calls. I've given you a new heart. Now, if you will come, I will train you how to use that new heart. Because see, even though we have a new heart, we've got to learn how to walk in it. We have to learn how to use it. How to begin to make it work for us. But here's the problem. At the same time that God is saying, come to me, follow me. I'm glad you believed in me, but now you've got to follow me. But here's the thing. It's kind of like the pictures, you know, how we have the angel on one shoulder and we have the devil on the other shoulder. Well, that's in some ways, that's true. Because even though God is calling to us, it also says in Proverbs, chapter 9, if we go down to verse 13, it says, but foolishness, and he calls foolishness a woman. Not that women are foolish, because he also called wisdom a woman. Okay, so he called wisdom a woman. But also he says, the woman folly is loud. Okay, she is seductive, even though she knows nothing. She sits also at the door of her house, and she takes a seat on the highest place of the town, and she calls to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. And who's that? That's us. We're trying to go straight. We're trying to do what's right, and yet foolishness is calling to us. It's like a woman calling to us, saying, whoever is simple or foolish, come to me. If you lack sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. In other words, isn't that what the world speaks to us? Don't worry about it. You know what? If you just come in here, it'll be a secret. And how many know that the secret little things are fun, and it's nice. And you know what? You'll get away with it. And even though we were dumb and God's given us a new heart, we have this speaking in our ears, this folly calling out to us. And it calls out to us wherever we are. When we're by ourselves, it calls out to us. When we're with friends, it calls out to us. When we're at work, no matter where we are, there's always that voice that is saying, follow me. It's not foolish. It's okay. And it tempts us. And it is our own desires that well up within us. And you know what? When we begin to do that, even though God has given us a new heart, we begin to fall for that again. And you know what we come? We go from dumb to dumber. Right? This is what we're talking about today. Dumb and dumber. It's one thing to be dumb, but then we become dumber. That even after all that God has done for us, when we still don't learn and we go our own ways, we are dumb and dumber. I'm telling you. And when you think of that movie, Dumb and Dumber, we laugh at them. And yet sometimes we need to understand that the devil is laughing at you, because we are living the same way. We're just dumb and dumber. And we don't even realize it. We don't even understand how foolish we are being, because we think that we're just getting away with it, that it's no big deal, that, you know what, God will forgive me. There's a big one. I'll just ask God to forgive me. You know what, you play that game enough, God knows our true heart. God sees that, and it begins to build up within us that we are fooling ourselves, and it pulls us a little farther away from God. We play the church thing. Well, I'll just go to church and everything's okay. Doesn't make it right. And so today, I want to say, if we are, when we come into Thanksgiving, the worst thing we can do is be thankful for things, but we live as if it doesn't mean anything. That's what dumb and dumber is. God's given us a new heart, and we say, thank you, God. This is the greatest thing that we have to be thankful for, is that God saved us. God died for us and gave us a new heart. And yet we take it for granted, and we live our life foolishly. And you see, as we do that, even though we give thanks to God, but yet we go out and we listen to folly, and we make dumb choices. What that is saying to God is, God, I'm really not thankful. I'm going to say I'm thankful, but I really could care less what you've done. I'm really more thankful for what I want for myself. I'm really more interested in what I can do for myself. If we are truly thankful, we need to begin to understand that God has given us this new heart. God has given us a new life that he paid his life for. He died to bring us this. It's not just something that was just cheap and easy. If we are truly thankful for the price that was paid, we need to begin to take care of that heart. How many know that if you give a gift to someone and they say, oh, thank you so much, but you come over to their house the next day and it's out in the yard just all wet and torn up because they just threw it out there. What do you think? Wow, they just were really thankful for that. You know, I paid for that and I gave them that and it's just left alone. It's the same thing. That's not being thankful. It doesn't matter what we say. And so this Thanksgiving season, it doesn't matter what we say. What matters is what we value. Because to be thankful for something is to value it. It's to take care of it. In other words, when I'm thankful for something, I take care of it because I am thankful for this. I may not have it for very long. It's not going to last, so I'm going to take care of it. It is how we take care of it that shows our thankfulness. And that has to do with our life. You see, our life, the way you live, the choices you make are what shows your thankfulness to God. And this is what Proverbs says. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23 says this, above all else, more than anything, guard your heart. For for everything you do flows from it. God has given you a new heart. And so if you're going to be thankful, if you are thankful this season, we need to begin to guard it. We need to begin to value it. Your life, your heart, is not something to throw out and do whatever you want, to go out and follow the ways of this world and not worry about the damage that it does to your heart. Because you know what? When we choose to be selfish, it damages something. It damages our heart. You might say, well, no one's getting hurt. I'm telling you who's getting hurt. Your heart, your soul that God paid for. You may not see it on the outside. You may not feel it. But our heart is being damaged. You know what? When we are critical of other people, when we are negative, when we live our life in ways that you might say, I'm not doing a sin. You don't have to sin to damage your heart. We just begin to make wrong decisions. We live in careless ways. I think the biggest thing Christians do, you know, Christians, we're not out there, you know, hopefully, cheating and stealing and doing those big things, you know, cheating on our wives, hopefully. But yet we do the little things that does just as much damage. You know, we're being jealous of others. We're being bitter. We're talking about them. Oh, look at that, how they act. Or we're having these attitudes within us. And you understand that that is just as damaging to your heart. That, letting those attitudes come into our life, living in greed, living in self-pity. You know, having this, that I'm not worth anything. You know what that's saying to God? That God, you didn't know what you were doing when you made me. That's not understanding the new heart that God has given us. And when we do that, that damages our heart. Guarding our heart from those type of things shows God that we are thankful for what he's done. And that's what he's saying. We need, above everything else, we need to begin to guard our heart. If you are thankful for what God has done for you, if you are thankful that God has given you heaven instead of hell, then we need to begin to live like it. We need to begin to guard our heart. We need to guard the things that come out of our mouth. And it says that the things that come out of our mouth are not just words. It says every word comes out of our heart, because it has to start there first. And by heart, what he means is our mind. It means our emotions. It means who we are. It's that part within us that no one else sees, but yet it's what we think and who we are truly inside. That's our heart. So when we say heart, that's what we're talking about. The essence of who you are. We need to begin to guard that. We need to begin to guard what comes in and what goes out. So how can we be truly thankful? How can we begin to guard this precious gift that we've been given, and begin to guard it from foolishness, from being dumb and dumber? How can we stop being dumb and dumber and start to be thankful for what God has done? Well, there's a verse in Psalms. And in fact, this is what we're going to do. We're going to read through Psalm 119. And you can turn there. It'll be on the screen. But let's go ahead and read that. Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. And this is going to show us, how can we be thankful? The greatest way to be thankful is by guarding your heart, valuing what God has given you this year. And it's got to be throughout your life, not just one day of the year. Starting in verse 9, says this: how can a young man or woman, old man, old woman, it doesn't matter, cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. If we are going to guard our heart, if we want to begin to value this life that God has given us, if we want to show our thankfulness to God, these seven verses, it's actually eight verses, but the last two are going to go together, show us how to guard our heart. So let's just go through this quickly. First thing, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. First thing you need to do to guard your heart, to be thankful for what God has done, is you need to get clean. It says, how can we cleanse our heart? We need to begin to say, God, I need to clean up. You see, the first thing, if you're thankful for what God has done for you, you need to clean up your life. We need to clean it up. You see, if God paid the price of dying for you, what kind of thankfulness is it for us to live in the things that disgust God? You see, God loves purity. God loves the things that bring righteousness, that bring compassion. He loves the things that takes care of this body that he has built for us. That means we need to clean out things in our life that are destroying it. You see, it's the things of this world that sometimes there's things that says it's not hurting anyone else, but yet it's hurting this body. You know, when we live hard and we go out and party and we do all the fun things and yet we think nothing's matter. Well, talk to the people who are dying young because they partied hard. Think of the people who are killing themselves with the drugs and the alcohol that they put into their bodies. We need to begin to clean ourselves. You might say, oh, yeah, that's the bad people I need to clean. Again, maybe it's us, Christian folk, that need to clean our minds of the criticalness, of the negative. We need to get clean. How do we get clean? We need to repent before God. We need to come to God and say, God, forgive me. God, I need you to come in and clean my life. It's not about trying to do good. It's not about earning it. It's coming to God and saying, God, I surrender my life. You cleanse me. Clean me up. And here's the thing. It's not about getting forgiveness. It's about getting cleansed. Here's the difference. A lot of us, we want forgiveness, but we don't want to be clean. Right? Think about it. We want to be forgiven. Oh, but I don't necessarily want to be clean. God, I just want you to forgive me, but then I want to stay kind of dirty. See, we like our dirt, but we want to be forgiven at the same time. It doesn't work that way, guys. We need to stop focusing on forgiveness and start focusing on getting clean. You see, we play it off as I'll just ask God to forgive me. God's not looking just to forgive you. He's looking for a people who want to get clean. Do you want to get clean? We need to begin to focus on that. God, cleanse me. Not just God, forgive me. Cleanse me. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, we like the first part. He is faithful and just to forgive us, but it says he doesn't want to just forgive you. He wants to and cleanse you. In other words, you need to stop going back. You can't just say, God, forgive me and I'll go back tomorrow. It means you got to stop going back. God is looking to get you clean. He's looking at changing you. You have to change. It's not just forgiveness. With that being said, we need to do more than just get clean. It says, the next verse, in verse 10, it says, I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. That's because once we get clean, here's the thing. We need to determine to stay clean. We need to determine. That means you need to purpose. You need to plan to stay clean. It's not about just coming to God, saying a prayer, and say, oh, I'm saved now. Now you've got to stay clean. You've got to work at it. Now, it doesn't mean you're never going to get dirty again. Jesus even knew this. Jesus knew that there's going to be times in our life that we live in this world, we're going to mess up. But there's a difference between messing up and purposely going and jumping in the mud puddle. Okay, we get dirty in this life. We still deal with things. But when we mess up, we can come and say, God, wash my feet. See, this is what Jesus told his disciples. He said, I need to wash your feet. I don't need to wash your whole body because you've come and you've turned your life over to me. But as you daily walk, you need to always wash your feet. We need to determine to stay clean. We need to make a plan to change our life. That takes discipline. That takes discipleship. In other words, now that I've come to you, Lord, you've given me this new heart, I'm going to follow you. It's not about believing in Jesus. It's about following Jesus. In fact, he said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go and make believers. He didn't say, just believe him. He said, come and follow me. Begin to follow me. We need to determine in our life to stay clean. Are we living a life that is staying clean? Trying to follow him. How many remember the old commercial of, I forget what the name of it was, Vrel cream or thing. It was, a little dab will do ya. You remember that? A little dab will do ya. Well, here's the thing. With God, a little dab won't do you. You can't just come and say, okay, God, just give me your little dab. No. It is a following. It is a daily discipleship of following God every day. He didn't die for you just to have a little dab one day. He died to change your life. He died so that you could live a life of joy, of freedom, of happiness in this life. We need to determine to seek him. I love this verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And then he goes on, he says, you have done foolishly, therefore you will have wars. And he's talking to the king of Israel at that time who had not been loyal to God. He had spoken like he was following God, but his heart did not follow him. God says, I'm just looking for someone that I can show myself powerful on your behalf. You know what? God wants to be in your life. God wants to do great things for you. But he's looking for a heart that is loyal. In other words, not a heart that just says a little prayer, but a heart that is loyal to him. That God, in my life, I'm going to follow you. I'm loyal to you. Now, I'm not loyal to my friends. I'm not loyal to this world. I'm not loyal to my own pleasure. I am going to be loyal to you. I'm going to follow you. It says, then God is going to show himself to be strong on your behalf if we are loyal to him. So we need to get clean. We need to stay clean. And then it says, the next verse that we read, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we're truly thankful for what God has done, then we need to internalize God's word. We need to let God's word not only be something that we read, but we need to let it get inside of us. He said, I've hidden your word. In other words, when you hear the word on Sundays when we come together, on Wednesdays when we study the word, in your own devotions when you read the word, you got to do more than read the word. You've got to let it get into you. You need to stop and think, what does this mean? How can I apply it to my life? I don't want to just read it. I want to do it. You've got to let it get inside of you. It's got to mean something to you. And if you don't know what it means, then you need to find out what it means. Get a study book. Get a commentary. Ask someone. Begin to study it. You need to let it become real to you. See, a lot of people know the Bible, but it's not real to them. We need to become people, if we are truly thankful for what God has done, then you need to let his word change you. It's got to get inside of you. It's got to be something that you know. See, sometimes we read the Bible, we can't even remember where, we don't even remember anything. We don't memorize anything. We don't even know anymore because we haven't read it enough to know it. We need to begin to study it and let it get inside of us and let it begin to make us feel uncomfortable. Here's the thing, the word of God should make you feel uncomfortable. In other words, when you're out with your friends and you're doing something that you know is not right, you should feel uncomfortable. That's a good thing because God is trying to change you. If it does not make us feel uncomfortable, then we're not taking the Bible real. And that's all of us. No matter how long, we've been Christians. There should always be something that the Word of God is challenging us, convicting us of. Like I said, maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a habit that's not a sin, but it's getting in the way of us serving God. Maybe it's getting in the way of us being an influence on someone else that we really could be. We need to begin to let the Word of God get inside of us. And I think a lot of us, we have not let it get inside of us. We've read it, it's on the surface, we even know memory verses, but you know what? It is not meaningful to us. If we are thankful, see, we're not thankful if God is not truly mean something to you. Are you internalizing it? The next thing is, we read in verse 12, it said, "Praise be to you, Lord, teach me your decrees." We need to get clean, we need to stay clean, we need to internalize, we need to let the Word get inside of us, but then we need to allow God to teach us. You need to let God teach you. God's given you this new heart. You need to understand that you don't know how to use it. Are you willing to acknowledge that you don't know how to use it? That I am still, even though God, you've given me a new heart, I keep messing it up. And I'm tired of messing up this new heart that you've given me. How many know that God's tired of, he's given you a new car and yet you're going and bumping into every pole that's out there? You bring your car back all dented up every day and God says, again? I've got to get, okay, I'll do the body work again, pop out the dents, and yet we take it out and we scrape it up again. You know, what kind of thankfulness is that, that we mess up what God has given us? We need to begin to say, God, then teach me. You got to be willing to be teachable. Are you willing to let God tell you, you know what? You're wrong in this. You need to change this. Oh, see, we don't like people to tell us we're wrong. You know, when God says, you know what? You need to be in church. You need to stop using those excuses. You need to be here. Don't tell me what I need to. You see, then you're not thankful for what God's doing. He's trying to teach you. To be thankful, to value this new heart, you need to let him teach you. You need to let the Word of God convict you and tell you where you're wrong. And it's okay to be wrong. We are all wrong. You're in the same boat as all of us. The thing is, it's the people who are willing to be taught. It's the people that are willing to say, you're right, I'm wrong, I need to change that. I'm going to work on it. Those are the ones that a championship team is made out of. You see, the New England Patriots don't always have the best players. But I'm going to tell you what every single person, I don't like them. I'm not a fan of the Patriots. I'm not a fan of their coach. But I'm going to tell you, here's the difference. Every player on that team listens to that coach. And that coach tells them when they're wrong. It doesn't matter whether they're a star or not. And that's what makes them a championship team. That's what makes me hate them even more, because when they beat my team, because my team loses to them. And yet, God wants to do the same thing. God wants to be that coach that, you know what, sometimes you may not always be happy with him. That's okay. Not everyone likes Belichick, but he wins. I'll tell you this, I will give him that, he wins. I'm going to tell you, you may not like God sometimes. You may not like the way God does things, but I'm going to tell you, if you make him your coach, you follow him, you will win. You will win. And in the end, I'd rather be a champion than be a loser. Guys, when we begin to let God teach us, even when it hurts, even when it means we have to do something that we don't like, you will win. And you will be the person who is thankful and is wise and not foolish. Are we allowing him to teach us? Number 5 says, "With my lips I have declared the judgments of your mouth." We need to get clean. We need to stay clean. We need to let the Bible get inside of us. We need to let the Bible teach us. And then we need to verbalize his truth. We need to speak it. We need to let it come out of our mouth. This is real important. What comes out of your mouth tends to direct you. If you keep speaking negative, more than likely you'll start thinking more and more negative. We need to begin to speak God's word, even if it doesn't seem true. In other words, we need to begin to say, you know what, I am a child of God, even though I may not feel like it. Maybe I feel like a loser. Maybe I feel like I've blown it too much. You need to begin to read the word and say, the word of God says that I'm forgiven. The word of God says that he is working in me. And you need to begin to speak it to yourself. You need to speak out the truth to others. Because here's the thing, when you begin to talk about God to others, even if you just say, man, I love God. Maybe you just tell your friends, you know what, I can't go with you because I'm going to church. When you speak that, here's the great thing about words, and I'm talking about out loud words, not words that we say in our mind. Okay, we like to do that. I'm talking about out loud words. When you speak about God out loud, it holds you accountable, right? Because how many times you tell a friend, oh, and I can't do that because, you know, I got to go to church, or I believe, you know, God has done great things. You know what? Now the next time you're in front of that friend, ooh, you're going to think, I better not do that because I told them about God. They're going to be looking at me that way. You see, it holds you accountable. You need to speak those words because then those words will help you make right decisions. Because the more you have told your friends that I'm trying to follow Jesus, when that gets out there, it helps you make the right decision. It's easier to make the right decision because you've already told them. And they look at you and they're like, oh, you're going to blow it this time. Or they're going to try and get you to change, but you know that they've already been told. And so our words hold us accountable. We need to practice our words, even with our other family in church. The more we encourage one another, the more we speak to one another about God, it grows this heart that he's given us, which is why it says, come together and sing the praises of God. Speak the praises, because it encourages us. We need to speak it out. You need to verbalize it. I know some of us say, oh, I don't like saying it out loud. You know, when we come to pray, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, I don't call on me to pray. How many know that's some of us? Don't want to pray out loud. But yet we need to practice that, even if we feel uncomfortable, because there is power in speaking it out. It says that the enemy quakes when we speak it out. Do you know that Satan cannot read your mind? You may think that. Satan is not God. Satan is not like an opposite of God. Sometimes we put him on the same level that we think that the demons and Satan are like just a bad part, that God's good, they're bad. And it's like an equal. They're not equal. They were created by God. God is the only God. Satan is a created being who is limited in power. He is just like us. He was created by God. He is not anywhere near God. So he cannot read your mind. He cannot have that effect on you. When we speak out the word of God, it begins to have power against the spirits of this air, of this world. And so when we begin to speak the things, maybe even no one's around, and you begin to pray out loud, you need to do that. As we begin to pray in the spirit, that's why it says that there is power when we pray in our spiritual language. When we begin to practice that, even if no one's around, there is power in that because it brings the power of God. We need to begin to verbalize God's truth. It begins to show the value that we have. That is our thanksgiving to God. Number 6, the next verse said, I rejoice in following your statutes as one who rejoices in great riches. We need to get clean. We need to stay clean. We need to get the word of God in us. We need to let the word of God teach us. We begin to speak it out and share it. Well, then we need to begin to make an evaluation. In other words, we need to value it. You need to understand what you value. This life that God has given us was precious. It says that I will praise you for it like I do great riches. What is more valuable to you? You need to look at your life. How you live your life shows what's more valuable. Is money more valuable? Is pleasure more valuable? What do you give up for God shows what's valuable to you. When we begin to say, God, you are more valuable to me than riches. God, I love your presence in my life more than anything else. When you begin to value it, when you begin to value what God has done for you, then you will avoid being dumb. You know why most of you are dumb when it comes to making decisions in our life? It's because we are not valuing God. You see, that's why it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. When we begin to value how precious this life is, why throw it away? Why throw it away for one night of pleasure? It's not worth it. You will, in one night, lose and pay years worth of consequences. Why do we throw away what God says by one word that comes out of our mouth? Because we got angry for a second, and then we forfeit. We need to begin to value it. It's more valuable to us than that. When God is more valuable to you than that, it will change your decisions. We need to make an evaluation. You need to begin to look at your life and say, I need to make an evaluation. Why am I valuing these things way more? I'm going to tell you, whatever career you have means nothing. Whatever we do in this life means nothing because it's going to be gone in an instant. And yet we value that. Guys, young people, education is important, but I'm going to tell you, that is not what's going to mean anything when you stand before God at the end of your life. And I love that billboard when we're coming from San Diego. It says, when you die, you will meet God. I love that because I'm going to tell you, now I encourage you to get an education. So parents, don't say I'm not telling them not to get an education. You need to do your best because God is going to be proud of that. You work hard, but you understand you need to make an evaluation of your life. You know, I love these athletes and I love it. But you know what? If you, being a pro athlete, if God ever even opened that door, is not worth losing your soul. It's not. It is not. Older people, you know what? We've been there, done that, and sometimes that makes us complacent. And you know what? Here's the worst thing. Guys, we're older. Is it worth all the struggle you went through for the last 60, 70 years, and now you're going to throw it away because we get lazy and we begin to let attitudes come in our old age? We need to begin to value what we have done and what God has done. So it doesn't matter whether we're young or whether we're old. We need to make an evaluation of our life. It's not worth it to throw it away over little stupid things that come and say, it's okay. We need to value what God has done. And the last one, it closed in verse 15. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. With all that being said, once we have gotten clean, once we're staying clean, once we've gotten the word, we let it get inside of us. We allow the word to teach us, and now we begin to speak it out, and we value it. From now on, for the rest of your life, you've got to spend time meditating on it because no matter what you've read in the Bible, you've got to continue it the rest of your life. It now begins to be a lifelong thing that you need to meditate on the Word of God because here is the key of it. Everything in our life is the Word of God. As God teaches us, as God gets in us, as God speaks through us, everything comes from the Word of God. This is the Spirit of God. This is the Spirit of Christ. It says Jesus was the Word made flesh. This is the summary of who Jesus was. This is the very character of God when we begin to meditate on it. That means think about it. That means have the Word of God in our heart and in our life and begin to spend time in the Word of God. When we begin to become like the Word of God, when we meditate on it, and you see, meditation in the Eastern religions and the New Age, they like meditation, but their meditation is clear your mind and become one with the universe, right? That type of meditation is supposed to really help you out and make you calmer and peace. You know what? You know why that is somewhat true? Because they have stolen it from God. Meditation is true. You need to become one, but not one with the universe and not one with nature. You need to become one with the Word of God. You see, meditation is good. The enemy steals everything good from God and tries to twist it. We need to become and take it back and say, I am going to meditate, but I'm going to meditate on the Word of God. I'm not going to empty my mind. I'm going to fill my mind with the Word of God, and then I'm going to become one with it. I need to put it into practice. I meditate on it so that it brings me peace and it brings me calm because the Word of God is a light unto my path. The Word of God is what brings me to that place of joy and peace. So we need to meditate. When we do those things, then we are truly thankful. You cannot be thankful without doing those seven things, without getting clean. How can you be thankful but you don't get clean? How can you be thankful to God but yet you don't stay clean? How can you be thankful to God but you don't let the Word of God get inside of you? How can you be thankful to God but you don't let God teach you? You don't let God change you? How can you be thankful but yet you never speak it out? You never talk about God. You never say the things of blessing. How can you be thankful if you are not letting the Word of God dwell in your heart and be part of you? You see, when we begin to guard our heart, you stop being dumb and dumber. So I want to encourage you today, and we're going to pray. We need to begin to guard our heart, and then we will stop being dumb and dumber. You see, there's no one worse than a Christian. At least the people out in the world, the atheists that don't believe in God, you know what? I respect them because at least they're dumb. But you know what we are as Christians who accept this new life and yet we treat it as if it's nothing? We're dumb and dumber. See, they may be dumb, but we are even worse. Because a hypocrite is someone that makes God sick to his stomach. You know what? A sinner, he can respect because at least they're being true to their heart. Now, they're going to pay the price. So don't say, oh, well, I'll just be one of those, because you don't want to be one of those. But let's not be dumb and dumber by fooling ourselves that we are any better than them. And that's even worse, because now we're living in a fantasy world where we're going to face the same consequence, but it's going to take us by surprise. When we stand before God, we're going to say, what? What do you mean leave you? Let's begin to guard our heart. Guard that heart that God gave you, so that we can stand before him and hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's bow our hearts. I'm going to have those that are going to be baptized go ahead, and they're going to go get ready, and our worship team is going to come up, and we're going to close in a time of worship. But let's just bow our hearts and ask God to just begin to move in us. God, begin to speak to our hearts. That God, we would realize what a precious gift you have given us. You have given us a new heart. God, my heart is terrible. I'm dumb. I am stupid. I make just dumb decisions. But God, I thank you that you have given me a new heart. You died to give me a new life. And so God, help me to begin to guard that heart. Help me to begin to live a life that is truly thankful. That God, I don't want to just take for granted what you have done for me. I don't want to just say it out of my lips that God, thank you at Thanksgiving. I say all the things thankful, but yet I live a life that means nothing. God, help us to guard our heart and become your servants that are wise and full of understanding. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's just spend a time of worship, and then we're going to celebrate in baptism.